This is Digital Story Podcast number 639, June 12th, 2018. Today's theme is The Art of Festival Photography. I'm Derek Story. So whether you're covering a music festival or a dazzling display of hot air balloons, it's hard not to be mesmerized by the main attraction. But if you really want to tell the story of the event, you have to get past that as quickly as possible. That process of going from being in awe to taking awesome photos is the topic of today's TDS Photography Podcast. A wonderful time this past weekend. Our workshop started on Friday, and we did aerial photography all day, our aerial photography with quadcopters. And we got to hang out at this wonderful place here in Sonoma County called Furthermore Wines. And they're on Highway 116 in Sonoma County. And a great place to go and taste wine and to hang out and to really enjoy the Sonoma County countryside. They're wonderful hosts. And in fact, they gave us a special permission to photograph their winery, their vineyards, and all the good stuff from above, to put our quadcopters up into the air. And, you know, we're really thankful to them for doing that. There we were. It was a very warm day. And fortunately, we had some shade, you know, to hang out in when we weren't flying. And we got the quadcopters up in the air, and we really did some fun photography. Quadcopter day, drone day was Friday, and it was really exciting. But Saturday, we had another aerial-related event, and that was hot air balloons. So it's funny, because we were a little baked after Friday, because we had been outside all day. It was a warm day. The hot air balloon classic started the next day at 5 a.m., and we're going, okay, all right, well, we can do this, right? It's a workshop. This is what we do. We're photographers. So we got it together. We were at the studio by 4 a.m. and ready to go. And of course, there was the usual sort of traffic and snarl to get to the parking of the festival, because, you know, everyone, you know, wanted to see this Dawn Patrol. And for good reason. It's really beautiful. And it was funny, when I got there, when we finally got out of the car, we had our parking spot, and we got out of the car, and we're walking to the festival, and there's already a whole bunch of people there. I mean, the place was a beehive activity. You could smell pancakes in the air. There were vendors selling hot cocoa. There were kids in all sorts of cute hoodies, you know, little animal hoodies where they had ears poking up. There were couples, you know, they were arm in arm and just enjoying the moment, waiting for the sun to appear and for the activity to begin on the field. And then there were the balloon operators themselves. Some of them were preparing their balloons for the Dawn Patrol, which is where they light them up before it gets light outside, and you really get this dramatic effect, and it's really beautiful. So I'm walking in there, and all this stuff was going on around me, a lot of interesting stuff, but I really was pretty single-minded at that moment. I mean, I just was making a beeline for the best angle on a glowing balloon, and it was really interesting how from the moment that I got out of the car till I sort of, you know, woke up, how I was so just single-minded about what I was going to photograph, which is I really wanted some nice glowing balloon shots. And of course you do, right? You want that sort of stuff. But I probably walked by 10 or 15 really interesting photographs while I was making a beeline and while I had this tunnel vision towards the subjects that I had in mind. And I had a good camera setup where I could have photographed just about anything I wanted. I had the Olympus OMD EM1 Mark II with the 17mm f1.2 Pro and the 45mm f1.2 Pro. Those were the two lenses that I was switching back and forth on, although I used the 17mm f1.2 most of the time. So I basically could shoot anything I want, because there was light there. It wasn't dawn yet, but, you know, there were artificial lights, and there was the lights from the balloons being lit, and, you know, there was a lot of light, enough certainly for that lens and camera combination. So after I got a few glowing balloon shots and looked at them on the LCD screen, I was feeling pretty good. I was going, yeah, this is going great. This is fun. I have my system down. There's some really interesting stuff here. I think this is going to go really well. And then I began to snap out of it. And then I began to look around and see what was happening around me. And all the stuff that I know about event photography started coming back to me. And actually, everything that I know about coming away with good shots can be distilled into 5 points. So I have those 5 points for you today. It's really amazing how often it just works out that way. So I'm going to cover the 5 points that I keep in mind when I'm at any type of event, whether it's a hot air balloon festival, a music concert, a wine tasting, you know, whatever it is where there's a main event that we become mesmerized by that main event, but there's so many other things going on. And those other things going on often are the best shots, at least the most satisfying shots for us as photographers and for showing other people who appreciate photography. So let's talk about those 5 things that help get us away from the postcard shot, the thing that we're going to put on Facebook, and get us into the other shots that really tell the story of the event. Well, ironically, the first point is get the postcard shot. I mean, you do have to get that shot. I mean, if you come away from that event and you don't have, you know, the classic, some sort of classic hot air balloon shot that you can put on Instagram or Facebook, then people are going to think you're just nutty, right? I mean, if all you did was shoot people's sneakers all day and totally ignore the balloons, then they're going to think, you know, you've really gone too far the other way. So you do have to get that shot. You do have to get the image that everyone expects you to get. Now, the key here is to get a really good one, right? Keep an eye out for, you know, the situation and where everything lines up, where all the elements line up, so you can get something really good. And then when you capture it, those are the kind of things that you do want to check on your LCD. You do want to zoom in a bit, make sure that it's sharp. You do want to make sure that hopefully that you caught it in RAW so that you can work with it even more afterwards. But that shot is important. And whether you get it early in the shoot or midway through the shoot, it doesn't make any difference. But your shoot will not be complete until you get that iconic shot. So that is number one on the list, and it is very important. The problem is, of course, is that you can't stop there, or you can't take 50 versions of that shot because you're really only going to use one. You can't do a slideshow of, you know, the iconic shot and just keep showing different versions of it. People will get bored really quickly. You can't do a photo essay of that. And, you know, really, you're only talking about then, all right, here I got up at 3 a.m. I met at 4 a.m. We were working by 5 a.m. We did all this stuff, took up, you know, half of our day. And I have one image to show for it, because essentially that's what you would have, one image to show for it, if you stopped right there. So then what are the other 4 things to do after you get, you know, that iconic shot? First thing that I like to do is turn my attention to the crew. Now, if this is a concert, you know, there are the stagehands, and there are all the people working the concert. At a balloon festival, there are all sorts of different types of crew members. A lot of people really helping with the balloons. It takes, I think, you know, just watching these things over the years, about 6 to 10 people, you know, to get a balloon upright, a hot air balloon upright and ready to launch. Then there's all the people running the event themselves. There's the folks walking around, you know, making sure that you don't go the wrong place. There's the vendors. I mean, there are all sorts of folks that are working this event. And a lot of times they make interesting images as well. One of the things about the crew or the helpers or the volunteers on things like this is that those images have a real behind-the-scenes feel to them. And one of the things that I have noticed over the years that viewers like being behind the scenes. They like knowing the inner workings of things. They like to know how things happen. And if you can show them that, if you can share with them a little bit about, you know, yes, there are these glowing balloons in the sky and they are beautiful, but how did that happen? You know, who were the people that enabled that to happen? That wasn't just the one guy, you know, pulling the rope, making the flames happen so that the balloon goes up in the air. There were a lot of people involved with that single balloon hanging there, glowing in the morning sky. So tell us about those people too. And a lot of times they're quite interesting. One of the shots that I have that I like is that this balloon wasn't able to launch because the breeze came up. And the guy that was in charge of the crew, he looked like he had been doing this for a long time. And he looked like that he may be a member of a motorcycle club. And he looked like he probably did other things that I could never imagine. I mean, he was a really interesting person. And the way that he ran the crew and his body language and his position and the way he looked and, you know, his dress and, you know, everything about him was fascinating. And then he was faced with this adversity of not being able to launch the balloon that they wanted to do. I mean, we got up at 3. Imagine, you know, when they were up, they probably started preparing for this a couple days ago. So you can imagine their disappointment when they weren't able to launch that balloon. And a lot of that was showing in his body language and then the balloon down on the ground with him in the foreground and the balloon, deflating balloon in the background. That stuff is really interesting. So turn your attention to the crew, to the people that make these things happen, because they are doing stuff that viewers find very interesting if you can capture it the right way. Number 3, what's going on in the audience? Audience at these sort of things, really interesting to me, because they are often very engaged in whatever's happening with the main event, and they don't really notice that we're taking pictures of everything and not just the main event. And so because they are so focused, it really makes it easy for us to capture, you know, that layer of the story. And audience members are fascinating to me. And a lot of times at these festivals, they are at least as interesting as the people on the stage or the main event itself. And they are definitely photograph worthy. Now, the one thing I will say about this is, like, for instance, at our classic, there were a lot of little kids. I'm very cautious about photographing little kids at events like this. I will maybe take a picture from behind every now and then, and a lot of times there's something really cute happening and it works from behind. But unless I have parental approval, I really don't want to start a ruckus there in the audience. So I'm very cautious. Let me just put it that way. I'm very cautious. And if I can get permission or if it does work out, I will photograph children in this situation. If it doesn't work out, I let it go and I move on because there are plenty of other things to take pictures of. But in general, you know, when you add the audience and the audience members, and in fact, the shot that I'm running with this podcast is a woman with her iPhone photographing a hot air balloon that is, you know, getting ready to launch. And, you know, the flames going up on the hot air balloon and, you know, it's very colorful and exciting. And then I have a picture of her capturing that on her iPhone. And you can see the image on her iPhone. And you can see the way that she's dressed for the cool morning air and all that kind of stuff. And then you have some crew members working around the balloon. So it actually, you know, touches on a couple things that I'm talking about today, because I have audience member, I have crew, and I actually have, you know, the hot air balloon itself, you know, all in one image. But looking at audience members and photographing them, really a big part of event photography. Use common sense. Don't be, you know, overly intrusive, but I don't think you need to come away with a lot of good audience shots. Number 4, get tight on the gear. And the gear itself can be very interesting. I know we had a discussion afterwards about how beautiful these propane burners were for the hot air balloons. And that, I have no idea how much they cost, but I know that it's a lot. And they look a little bit like these beautiful chrome rocket engines, actually. One of the participants, Fred, not only photographed it from the side, as you know we often see it, but he actually had an opportunity to photograph down into one because it was down on its side. And you know, these things, again, this is that behind the scenes kind of thing where you're showing the viewer a different side of this. Like, we know that, you know, these burners are what produce the flames that make the hot air, that get the balloons up in the air. But, you know, we don't really know that much about them normally, unless you've been to a festival and you could look closely. However, when we as photographers have the opportunity to get close and have the opportunity to really do a study on them, then we can share that with other people, and then they go, wow, you know, those things are really neat. That looks very expensive. You know, this is very impressive. And, you know, we have the ability to do that, especially if we can get right in there. So showing the gear, whether it's a Fender guitar on the stage, whether it's wine glasses lined up, hot air balloon burners, whatever the gear happens to be for the festival that you're covering, make sure that you get that too. And I even used to do that with weddings, you know, weddings, making sure that I photographed the place cards and the silverware and maybe the guest gifts that are on the table, you know, all that little stuff. And the customers always loved it. They always loved having those shots in there, the stuff that made their wedding. And same thing goes for festivals or just about any other event. Make sure you get tight on the gear. And the other thing that I like about it is that it breaks up the flow. If you're showing 20 shots of your coverage of, in this case, a hot air balloon festival, and you've got a couple of those really cool gear shots in there, that really changes it up a lot and makes the overall presentation a lot more interesting. And number 5, move your feet, bend your back, and stretch your arms. No, it's not an exercise workout. It's not falling in love with just one position or one angle. I noticed a lot of photographers doing this at the festival, where they would set up camp, maybe sometimes even have their camera on a tripod. They parked it there, and that's where they were going to stay the whole time. And I'm going, okay, you're going to get really just one kind of shot. It's not a rocket launch. You know, it's not SpaceX, where you're really just shooting one thing. There's all sorts of stuff going on there, and there are many different balloons, and there's just an opportunity for so many different things. To just park it in one spot just seems like a huge waste to me. And then beyond that, just not even shooting the same way. I got reminded about this because I even forget this sometimes, which just blows my mind that I would ever forget it. I was walking around and I was actually shooting some participant shots and a little bit of audience stuff. And I noticed a couple guys, you know, laying down on the grass and shooting up at this woman holding the crown line for one of the hot air balloons. And it looked like a really great shot. And I'm going, God, I got to get down on the ground some here. You know, I've just been walking around on my two big feet. And so I did. So I got down and I shot some shots on the ground. And then that got me going. And I got the camera up over my head, using the LCD viewfinder to compose, and really started just moving the camera around, up and down and all around. So you've got to do that. You've got to get away from just the one position and the one angle, because that does make all your shots look the same. If you start varying your angle and your position, then your shots are going to be more dynamic, especially when you're showing a series of them to people. So these are the sort of things that you can do to not only come home with the shot that you can put on Facebook and, you know, have everyone go, woo, that looked like a great event, but then you have all these other options open. You have a photo essay if you want. You have some artistic shots if you want. You have something to make prints if you want. You have something to maybe enter into a contest if you want. I mean, you have all these options because you have done these different things and not just stuck with the one thing and then become mesmerized, you know, with the one shot. So those 5 things are, yes, get the postcard shot, turn your attention to the crew, what's going on in the audience, get tight on the gear, and then move your feet, bend your back, and stretch your arms. If you do those five things, I think you will have a more satisfying photo shoot next time that you cover any type of festival. The Portfolio Project, Week 6, Dan Horton Schar Photographs. So Dan Horton Schar is our featured photographer this week, and his portfolio site is www.danhortonschar.com. And the way he spells that is Dan, DanHortonSzar. So what I'm saying is Schar is spelled SZAR.com. And of course, I have the link in the show notes. I have all the links that you need in the show notes. But again, DanHortonSzar.com. And this is a cool site. Let me tell you a little bit about Dan. I'm taking this paragraph off his site, actually. Photography has been a much-loved hobby for most of my life, and I started to work on it more seriously the last few years. A couple things in particular helped me on the way. Starting a 365 project on Blip Photo and joining a camera club. With the experience gained through the discipline of going out and making a daily photograph and the advice and support I received from camera club members, I've gone on to join the Royal Photographic Society and gained my ARPS distinction in October 2014. And I think that's really neat. I love hearing a little bit about how they got to where they are. And Dan has some wonderful images on his site. He's got the Kent countryside. He's got some street photography. But the page that I think really got me, and the one that I think made me select his site to feature this week, was a page called Raising Boys. And it is a predominantly black and white tribute to the exuberance of childhood. And it's really good. I mean, many of us who have children or were lucky enough to be around when children were younger, have kid shots, but this is different. This Raising Boys is different. He really took photographic approach to capturing the joy and the activity of kids. And his shots, they're very dynamic. They're very well done. Like I said, most of them are black and white, and they go well beyond what we normally see with shots of children. The other thing I like about Dan's site, and one of the reasons why I'm doing this, where I'm featuring different photographers, is that each photographer has his or her own way of designing the site and setting it up. And I think it's fun, to look at, the way that I did it, to the way that last week's featured photographer did his, to this week's featured photographer. They all kind of approached and used the Portfolio Box tools in a different way to create something that not only represents their work, but the way that they want to present their work. And I think, that is an important part of it. When Dan let me know about his site, when he sent the contact form from the Nimble Photographer, he said that this is something that he had been thinking about doing for a long time, as many of the photographers that have created Portfolio Box sites have mentioned that, yes, this is something that I've been thinking about doing. And then finally I came across this tool that was the right tool for doing what I wanted to do. I think that's wonderful. I really do. And I do think that Portfolio Box is the right tool for many of us to create these sites. And you ought to go over and look at what Dan has done. Look at, some of the other sites that I've mentioned, both last week's and my own. We're going to have another one next week. And then think about, what you would do. And wouldn't it be nice to have a site like this? To have a site that, you're in complete control of and has this beautiful, clean look. And that you can feature the images that you want to feature the way that you want to feature them. I think it's super exciting. The way that this is working, if you signed up for a Portfolio Box Pro account and have published at least one page, then send me a link to that site. And you can use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer to do that. And of course, I have the link to that in the show notes. give me your name, the link, and the subject of the page that you've published, and, you know, tell me a little bit about it, too. I really like hearing a bit about it. One of the things that will happen is that site will become part of the directory that I'm working on of our Virtual Camera Club members who have these portfolio sites, and, you know, that's going to be really nice. I'm hoping to get that published here in the next week or so. And then the other thing that'll happen is that, you know, I'm going to look at your site, and it might be the site that I feature next week. And, you know, that's not such a bad thing, you know, especially if you want, you know, people who really care about photography to look at what you've done and to comment or use the contact form. Like, for instance, Dan has a contact form on his site. So, you know, people can, you know, tell him, I really like what you did with this. And like in my case, I really loved what he did with raising boys. That's great feedback. We love hearing that kind of stuff. How do you get started with Portfolio Box? The easiest way is to either click on the link in the show notes. That'll take you over to our TDS landing page. Or there's a tile on all the pages of the Digital Store. You can click there. You want to start there because if you do get a pro account instead of the free account, you get 20% off. And the pro version's only $82.80 a year anyway. And that includes the domain name, your custom domain name. That is included in that price. And then you get another 20% on top of that. You get another 20% discount on top of that if you go to the Digital Story landing page. Check it out. Get your Portfolio Box site going if this is something that you've wanted to do. And if you do it, make sure you let me know so I can go over and take a look. I'll include it in the directory, and I'll consider it for next week's featured photographer. I hope it's you. I do. I hope it's you I get to feature next week. Portfolio Box, they're sponsoring the Digital Story. I really like this product, and I'm really enjoying this project. I'm taking the Canon Pixma Pro 100 rebate challenge. So this is one of those things that's going on that I decided that I wanted to do. So there's this deal going on for the whole month of June, and it's through B&H, and I have the link, you know, to the page in the show notes. So you got to make sure that you check it out if you're interested after, you know, what I'm talking about here. But here's the deal. So the Pro 100, the Canon Pro 100 inkjet printer, is a $350 printer just by itself. And it's really nice. It's a 13-inch printer, so it prints up to 13 inches by 19 inches. And it has all sorts of features. I'll go over some of the features here in a minute. So what they have going on right now is that you can get $50 off instantly. You get a 50-sheet pack of luster surface paper, 13 by 19 inches, and you're eligible for a $250 rebate. So what that all shakes out to is that you get this pack of paper, 13 by 19-inch paper, and a professional quality printer for a total price of $60. The shipping's free. So it's $60, that's it. It's actually $59.95 or something like that. So I was going, okay, I hate mail-in rebates. And way back when, long time ago, I got burned on one. And it always sort of stuck with me, and I've always sort of avoided them. But the problem was that my Epson R2000 has finally died. I ran that thing into the ground, and now the printheads are just inoperable, shall we say. And you know, if I were to work on it, get a new print head, buy new ink and everything, that would be a few hundred dollars to do that. And I was going, I have a Canon printer already that I love, the smaller one that does up to 8.5 by 11. I just love that printer, and it does a great job. So I thought, why not make my 13-inch printer a Canon too, especially if I can do the $60 deal. So I went ahead and bought the printer. It showed up over the weekend while I was doing the workshop. So today I did all the things. I printed out the rebate form. You know, B&H does a great job. They send you the PDF of the rebate form. I filled it out. I cut out the UPC code for the printer, and then, you know, put it all in the envelope, and I double-checked to make sure I had everything just perfect the way they wanted. I double-checked that, and then I sent it off. So we will see if I get my $250. If I do, if I get my $250 rebate, then this will be a stunning deal. This will be a stunning deal. And if I get it quickly before the end of the month, I'll definitely report on it either way. But, you know, this promotion goes until June 30th. So I'll just give you some of the product highlights on this Canon Pro 100. So the DPI is 4800 by 2400 DPI. Very nice. It can do an 8x10 print in 51 seconds. It has all sorts of different ways to connect: Wi-Fi, Ethernet, AirPrint, PICT bridge. It can print up to 13 inches by 19 inches. It has 8 ink cartridges. It has a front-facing USB port, which I just love. That's brilliant. It does true monochrome prints because it has black, gray, and light gray cartridges. And then because it has AirPrint, I can print from anything that I have in the Mac world: MacBook, iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, whatever, because with AirPrint, it just shows up, and then you can print directly to it from your mobile device. And I use AirPrint a lot, actually, with my other Canon, and I just dig it. So it has a lot of really nice features. The reviews on it are great. I think 4.5 stars out of 5 with a whole bunch of reviewers. So this looks like a really cool deal. Now, I do have the link to it in the show notes, and I promise you, as soon as I hear about the $250 rebate, I'll report on that. And especially it'd be great if it's before the end of June, and then we take it from there. So I'm taking the challenge. I want to change my feeling about rebates and, you know, have this work so that I can have a positive experience. All right, just a few quick updates before I sign off. I want to thank our Inner Circle members for supporting the site through Patreon. I'm working on your guys' movie this week. I've got the workshop behind me. I've got a lot of things behind me. And I'm working on the movie, so I'll let you know via Patreon when your bonus movie goes up, and it's going to be behind the scenes at our San Francisco workshop. I'm really excited about sharing this with you. Big thanks to all of our Patreon members who help support the site and help pay the bills and, you know, all the stuff that that people don't know is involved with keeping a podcast on the air. You guys are helping me do that, and I thank you so much. If you're curious about becoming an Inner Circle member, look for the tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. That'll take you over to my Patreon site, and you can read all about it there. And of course, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. I'm going to be running a ton of Red River Paper through my new Canon printer. I can't wait to see how it turns out. And of course, I'll be talking about, you know, that and anything else that I learned with this project. But Red River Paper, they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. Take you to our landing page there. And you can buy paper, greeting card stock, ink, tutorials, reviews, you name it. It's all there. One-stop shopping for all your printing needs. And really great people as well. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I've got so many things in the works. Make sure you come back and join me next week. I'm very excited. I'm hoping that I get the new Sony camera for review. I'm going to be heading out to New York for a few days next week. I'd love to have that camera for testing in New York. So if we do, then I'll be able to report on that soon. But I have lots of other goodies in the works too. Come back and join me next week. Thanks so much for joining me this week. I'll see you next Tuesday. Until then, bye-bye now.